Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
My brothers, my sisters, the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joses, and James and Salma, brought perfumed oils with which they intended to go and anoint Jesus. Very early, just after sunrise, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked, they found that the stone had been rolled back, and it was a huge one. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, dressed in a white robe. This frightened them thoroughly, but they reassured them, "You need not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was crucified. He has been raised up. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Go now and tell his disciples and Peter, 'He is going ahead of you to Galilee, where he will see him just as he told you.'" They made their way out and fled from the tomb, bewildered and trembling, and because of their great fear, they said nothing to anyone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the very first Easter morning, we hear of the confusion. Mary Magdalene, Peter, and the beloved disciple, unnamed. The tomb is empty. The burial cloths are folded up, and they wonder what has happened. And then later in the afternoon, two disciples, also unnamed, were walking to a small village named Emmaus. And they were distressed and sad when they heard what had happened. Along the way to Emmaus, Jesus, although unrecognized, walked with them. He even spoke with them, asking them what they were talking about. It would be clearer later, and later in the evening, and in the next few days, they would know what had happened. They would know the good news of the resurrection. One thing I think we should know this Easter morning of 2024 is that Jesus is present to us right now. He didn't leave us on our roads alone. And Jesus will soon be here with us in the Eucharist. And just like he was for the disciples and Mary at the tomb and the disciples going to Emmaus, he walks right beside us. Even if we don't recognize him, even if we don't see him clearly. We often receive God's intervention and his grace in our lives through people. We just need to be open to recognizing it. Look to the light of Christ. Look to the hope and the joy of the resurrection in the people that are right next to you, right beside you. But we also can be the light of Christ to others as well. I just read a book by David Brooks of the New York Times called How to Know a Person. And it speaks to the importance of knowing and seeing people deeply, and being deeply seen by others. The need for us to accompany others and to be present to others. Now, Jesus, following the resurrection, didn't say many words. But he was there for them. He was present. People who are good at accompaniment, people who are good at understanding the art of presence, just showing up at a wedding, showing up at a funeral, showing up at the doorstep of someone who was recently laid off or has suffered a setback or challenge or a hurt. When someone's going through a difficult time, you don't need to say something wise. You just need to be there. I've got two quick life stories from the book that may help us. The first one is about Nancy, and she was a professor teaching first-year med students, and she was leading the class on decision-making skills. And at the time she was teaching the class, her husband, at age 50, died suddenly of a heart attack. He died unexpectedly while cross-country skiing near their home in Vermont. But with some difficulty, she managed to make it through the semester, and towards the end of the school year, Nancy mentioned to the class that she was dreading coming back, dreading teaching the same course the next year. Because at the beginning of the year, she would take the first couple of sessions of the course to have everybody come with photos of their family, so they would all get to know one another a little better. And she wasn't sure she could do it. She wasn't sure she could share a photo of her late husband during the class without sadness and without grief. So the course ended, summer came, summer went, and the fall arrived. And then the day she dreaded came. So Nancy, the professor, entered the lecture hall full of fear and anguish. As she entered the room, she sensed something strange. Something was different. The room was too full. And sitting there along her, next to her new current class, was all the kids from the second year, who are now second year students, the ones that had taken the class the year before. They had simply come to be with her, to be present. They knew exactly what she needed and offered nothing, anything else. She wrote of this, she said, "This moment for me was just unexpected compassion. My students made a simple human connection, and their presence was there at a time when I was suffering, and all they wanted to do was help me heal." The second story is about a student, Jillian. Now, her father had died of stomach cancer. And before he died, she and the father talked about how they would each miss major life events in their life. The wedding that might someday happen, the children that may grow up. And Jillian had much sadness and grief following the father's death, knowing that these life events may not be happy for her without a dad. So soon after he died, she was a bridesmaid at one of her best friend's weddings. And the father of the bride gave a beautiful speech about his daughter's curiosity and spirit. And there was a lot of joy at that moment. But Jillian could only think of her dad and the personal sadness that she was carrying. So her friends at the table knew of the deep rawness of the grief. And when it came for the father-daughter dance, Jillian just couldn't stay. So she stood up at the table and she excused herself and said, "I just need a break. I'm going to the restroom." But on her way back to the ballroom, in the hallway, she saw that all the people from the table, many of them friends from college, were waiting there for her return. And what she wrote about this moment was, she said, "What I will remember forever is that no one said a word. I'm still amazed at the profoundness that can echo in silence. Each person, including newer boyfriends who knew her less well, just gave me a reaffirming hug in turn, and they headed back to their seats. No one lingered or awkwardly tried to validate my grief. They were just there for me, just for a moment. It was exactly what I needed." I think the message of these stories and the challenge of this Easter morning is that we have people all around us Maybe it's ourselves. To the left and right of you, you have people that are hurting, are broken, bearing grief, bearing hardships. We don't have to look far for this. I think it's sometimes difficult for us to say, it's easier to ignore it. Maybe too hard to take on, maybe too difficult to really try to help people. But I think when we look beyond ourselves and we have the courage to do something, that's all we need. Show up. Be there. Just call. A personal visit. A cup of coffee. Just to listen. Just be present. Not many words are needed. In fact, often no words are necessary. We can always all be the light of Christ to others. And then we also have to be able to accept the light of Christ to ourselves. That's sometimes the more difficult thing, right? Sometimes when I'm listening to music, I think it's divinely inspired. Yesterday I was driving and on my Spotify came the song One from U2 and Bono. No worries, I'm not going to sing it. But the lyrics spoke to me about what I think we want to do. Is you can't be holding on to what you got when all you get is hurt. One love, one blood, one life. You got to do what you should. One life with each other. Sisters, brothers, one life. But we're not the same. We get to carry each other. Carry each other. One. We got to do what we should do. We get to carry one another. I think that's a powerful way to look at it. It's not if we carry. It's we get to carry. It's a privilege. Having the courage to be with somebody beside them, to be present, is a choice that we make. But it's also a responsibility to own that and get to carry each of us from darkness unto light. And we can make other people's Good Fridays become Easter Sundays. And the joy and the hope of this day, the joy and the hope of the resurrection lives in every one of us when we do that. He is truly risen. He is truly risen.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You say one love, one life, when it's one need in the night. One love, we get to share it. Leaves you, baby. One, but we're not the same. We get to Lord, we